It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Springtime is here, but the Twitter burn ain't chirping with happiness. Despite gains in revenue, slow user growth has caused the microblogging website to take a beating on Wall Street. I read a headline that said, "Are you kicking yourself for buying Twitter Inc?" But our friend and Slate tech blogger Will Oremus is singing a different tune.
Twitter is only going to get bigger, and I think that everyone's looking at the company in the wrong way.
As in the Facebook way. Oremus says investors and others need to stop comparing Twitter to Zuckerberg's behemoth. As a social network, it's different, and that's okay, because it's got good fundamentals, like its reach.
So you may have never used Twitter in your life, and yet you're still part of Twitter's audience because you see tweets on TV, you read them embedded in articles online, you hear them quoted on the radio. And what it's going to do in the future, I believe, is find new ways to monetize that audience.
Think an ad embedded in a tweet that is passed around online. Oremus thinks that eventually you won't have to sign up for the social network either, just like YouTube. And like YouTube's videos, Twitter's tweets, useful in breaking news situations or for celebrities to engage with their audience, will eventually make money for Twitter. And that, says Oremus, means the company isn't going anywhere. Jack Bauer is coming back to the TV this week. I'm speaking, of course, of Kiefer Sutherland's badass terrorist-fighting character on the Fox show 24. Bauer is an expert in getting the bad guys, also an expert in interrogation and electronic communications. Of course, since the show last aired in 2010, electronic communication has changed. So has the other technology. Dan Bobkoff takes a look.
William Gossage spent much of the 2000s getting fit to the clock-ticking, heart-pounding action of 24.
Best treadmill show ever.
And being a computer science professor at the University of Maryland, Gossage had a lot of questions. Like, was that Chloe O'Brien character really that good at hacking?
Yes, it was very little time to hack into the NSA's computer system.
He says in a goofy way, the technology on 24 was ahead of its time.
The show then is probably more realistic now, that we now have more computing power.
Then there's Jack Bauer's cell phone, which in its first decade went from flip phone to a Palm PDA.
The phones just are consistently going. They never run out of battery. They never need to be charged.
Sarah Wanenchak blogs at Cyborgology. 4 years later, Bauer now has access to smartphones and tablets. No word yet if you'll spend half the episodes looking for a charger. Drones and Edward Snowden-style leaking are also expected to be big plot points.
Who's watching and who's being watched seems like it could be a huge possibility for a lot of drama.
I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
All this week, we're going to be talking to musicians about technology, how it's changed the way they write, perform, even think about what music actually is. Our series is called Playing with Machines, and to kick it off, we're going to talk to British recording artist Tom Jenkinson, a.k.a. Square Pusher. Square Pusher is known for pushing the envelope in both live performance and recorded electronic music, but his new recording is a doozy, aptly named Music for Robots. Robots designed by Japanese roboticists. The music Square Pusher wrote for the mechanical three-piece is complicated. Imagine a guitarist robot with 78 fingers that can play over 100 notes a second. Tom Jenkinson, thanks for coming on.
Hello there.
So tell me about some of these musicians, I guess we'll call them, and what some of their capabilities are.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the guitar robot is its capacity for polyphony. Okay, so any guitarist can play six notes at a time on the guitar, you know, just by strumming a standard chord.
Sure.
However, these instruments reveal a completely different level of capacity in that respect. I mean, they can play in different time signatures on each string. And a human simply couldn't do it. I mean, it's just, you'd need
more processing power in your brain.
Exactly, even if you had six hands.
Can you talk a little bit about the frustrations of having to work with machines? I mean, I suppose they don't have much in their backstage rider, but maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, we discovered that despite its phenomenal technical potential, there are limits to what it can do. And there are elements in the recording where I've actually deliberately pushed it too far, just because you can then start to get these very strange, at random, idiosyncratic, almost, it's not really music anymore. It's like a barrage of noise.
You've said your main goal in this project is to figure out if robots can play emotionally engaging music. Do you feel like this has answered this question for you?
You've hit on it, the exact fascinating axis in this project for me, which is, okay, of course, what I call the 12-year-old boy approach to this is to say, how fast can it go?
Will it catch on fire?
This is it, you know, and the guitarist can play well over 100 notes per second if you care about that kind of thing. But still, at the end of it, is it going to produce a musical work that I find compelling? But put it this way, I wouldn't release it unless I thought it had at least gone some way along giving a positive answer to that question, which is a fascinating point. If a machine can do something which moves a human being, that's quite an interesting phenomenon.
Tom Jenkinson, also known as Square Pusher, is a UK-based composer and guitarist. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can see a video of Square Pusher's robot band, which is amazing. Check it out at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.